TV to film often doesn't work well at all. But I'd love to hear your suggestions. 1300 222 774. I'm thinking top of the list of bad adaptions, Lost in Space. But we'll get to all of that. Josh Nelson joins me as ever. You can read his blog at filmology.com, spelled with a PH. Hi there, Josh.
Good afternoon.
I'd love to talk about Alan Partridge. I do want to update and endorse, if I can. Josh raved about Gravity, the Sandra Bullock, George Clooney disaster space flick. I watched it at IMAX in 3D, and I loved it. Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's pretty impressive. In fact, I only found out today that Alfonso Cuarón was shopping that film around for years, and no one wanted a piece of it. So I bet there's a lot of studios shaking their heads now.
Look, just extraordinary. I highly recommend. It's the sort of film that it's worth shelling out the extra dollars for to go and see at IMAX. I planned it so I got good seats. Very excited. Although, mind you, do you know how much a bottle of water is at the IMAX?
$17.
$4.20 for a bottle of water. And I just said, it came out of my mouth unbidden. I said, that's outrageous. And she just didn't say anything. The very polite woman at the counter, she just said, took my money and gave me the change. Oh, anyway.
Well, having worked at a cinema for a number of years, I can empathize.
Used to it. Let's talk about Alan Partridge, the new film, Alpha Papa. Let's have a little listen to the trailer.
That was soft rock cocaine enthusiasts Fleetwood Mac. And this was Alan Partridge. Love that noise. I was having a fascinating conversation with Norfolk's most suntanned child, just passed his details on to the social services.
Alan will be taken over.
So, Pat, no one's getting sacked. Just sack Pat.
Just gave me 30 minutes to clear out my locker.
Hello? Pat?
There's only one person Pat he's willing to talk to. You.
Cool.
Will you help us?
Guys, none of us choose the hand we're dealt.
We do need an answer, I'm afraid.
Why do you have another siege to go to?
Look, Josh is actually, he's just seen the film and he's sitting here giggling, almost wetting his pants. Well, firstly, for people who don't know who Alan Partridge is, let's give people the setup first.
This is a long-standing character of Steve Coogan. The genesis of Alan Partridge dates back to 1994 with the TV show The Day Today, where he played a sports reporter, I think. And then it evolved into a character who had a chat show called Knowing Me, Knowing You. Uh-huh. And by the end of the chat show, he was getting quite violent and aggressive with his guests. And then the story of Alan Partridge becomes he gets sacked off BBC, he gets sort of shifted into radio, and he just wants his shot back at television. And each time he gets further and further away. And the last incarnation was actually last year, and it was a webisode series called Mid-Morning Matters. And I think on the basis of that, which did really well, and it's actually sort of readily available, the film got greenlit.
Right, okay. He was, so is that the web episodes where he's North Norfolk FM?
Yeah, so North Norfolk Digital in the mid-morning time slot.
Right.
And this is where the film takes off.
So very difficult to transition someone like Steve Coogan, who actually has been in some really terrible stinker films. He was in that Around the World in 80 Days, wasn't he? Which was just woeful with Jackie Chan. This works?
Look, for the most part, I think it's probably worth qualifying because, as you mentioned at the top of the segment, there's very few TV to film adaptations that work. And I think that's particularly so with sitcoms, particularly British sitcoms. Mm. For one reason, the basis of the sitcom is structured around a kind of a reset button where the characters don't really change. And it's driven by humour, not by action. So you transplant that to a three-act narrative structure where suddenly it's about character arc, character journey, and action. So they're completely different formats.
So it's an action film?
Well, it is in a sense, but action as in just events action as opposed to action. The other reason why a lot of the other British sitcom to films don't work, like Bean and Ali G, is they're made for an American audience. So the style of humour changes as well.
Yeah.
So what this film, why I think it works for the most part, is because the character stays true. Alan Partridge is still this sort of belligerent, ego-driven guy who thinks he's, you know, well above his station. Although the context in which they've tried to adapt it to a film is the station is under new management. It goes from North Norfolk Digital to, I think, Shape. So
right.
Very much
like smooth.
Yeah. Cole Meaney, poor Cole Meaney, who's the midnight shift guy, gets bumped and comes back at the rebranding launch and holds the radio station to siege.
Well, he's a great actor, Cole Meaney.
Yeah, I love Cole Meaney. In fact, the funniest thing, there was a trailer for a film just before this with Cole Meaney in it, and you're playing a very awkward bit character in a film about a real-life story about a guy guy who becomes an opera singer. It looks awful. And I said, oh, poor Colmeany, what's he been reduced to? And then he pops up in this film. So, yes, he's had his career resurrected in the space of 5 minutes. But, look, this is a really fun film. The character stays true. The jokes are really consistent throughout. I mean, right. They start to sort of thin out a little bit towards the end, but that's because...
Same writers as the TV show?
The most part, Armando Iannucci, who was the driving force of most of the Alan Partridge series.
So he wrote this script?
He's one of five writers. There's Coogan. I think I get the sense that there's three writers, of which Coogan and Iannucci are two of, and then it's been handed over to screenwriters to try and...
How do you say Iannucci's name?
Iannucci.
Armando Iannucci.
Armando Iannucci.
Armando Iannucci. He's the man behind The Thick of It.
Veep. In the Loop.
In the Loop, all those things. Yeah, he's quite good on Twitter, actually. I just don't actually know how to pronounce his name. Let me just read out a few of your texts. Someone, very keen viewer, great TV to film, Blues Brothers, absolutely, originally an SNL sketch. I think we'll include that in the category. Great, like it. The Addams Family, yes, I'm not sure if you include that as a good or a bad transition. Personally, I'd say that's a bad one. Brady Bunch, yes, as a success. Get Smart, no. I can't tell you how many of you are texting in to say Get Smart, the nude bomb, is the worst TV show turned into a movie. And a few of you talking about the Antique Roadshow, the movie, which I'm assuming is a joke.
We haven't had any text about Bad Boy Bubby, the TV show to the movie yet, have we?
No.
Okay.
Was there On the Buses movie?
I don't remember. Oh, yeah. This is back into the 60s, isn't it?
Yeah, the TV show is, yes. Was there a film?
There was, and I think it's pretty awful from what I hear. Yeah.
Look, I'd love to hear your suggestions. I'll find out more about Alpha Papa. I only have to think of Steve Coogan saying Alpha Papa, and I laugh. And someone did text him to say, Bad Boy Bubby wasn't a TV show? Sheesh. Anyway, so...
I guess they're not a regular listener.
Obviously. Alan Partridge, it works?
Look, it does. I have laughed the loudest this afternoon than I have on any comedy. In fact, it's been a real dearth of comedies this year. I think maybe one or two others that have got a few chuckles, but this came along at a very good time for me personally, and I think for everyone else.
So if
the weather's getting you down,
right.
Go and see. The other thing that's, I think, worth pointing out, I think part of my enjoyment of this is just the enjoyment of the character. I'm not sure if this was your first experience of Alan Partridge, whether you'd feel...
Is there a bit of character setup? Do you, if you haven't seen the TV show, will you know who he is?
Not necessarily. They don't go into any sort of backstory. There are sort of references there for long-term fans, other characters who sort of popped in and out of the show,
yes.
Like his poor setup on assistant Lynn. It gets a Guernsey in this one. But the humour is true to the TV show for the most part, particularly those scenes of him, like you heard in the trailer there, with those sort of offhand comments, those very non-PC comments, particularly about sort of social mores and race and class and ethnicity and so on. Yeah, look, this is a real guilty pleasure, and for the most part it really works.
Okay, it's Alan Partridge, Alpha Papa. I just laugh thinking about it. Cool. A couple of nominations for great TV to movie films. The Simpsons and Starsky and Hutch. Yes, I think they both count, although Starsky and Hutch isn't so much really like the film. But still, and quite a few of you texting in MASH. Yes, although I think, pretty sure MASH was movie before.
It was the other way around. Very different style too.
And someone else saying Lost in Space was okay. Hardly disagree. Does Spider-Man or the Hulk count?
Or Batman for that matter. That's comic to TV to animated
series.
Do they
count? Yeah, I think they count. But it's too hard to talk about because there's so many Spider-Man and Hulk films, I kind of lose track. A few more nominations, Star Trek, The Thunderbirds, but you're not telling me if you like them. I think you need to tell me if the TV to movie is the best or the worst. Let's try and split it up that way. And Doctor Who the movie, oh dear, that's Martin from Fitzroy. Is there a Doctor Who movie?
They did.
There's a Dalek one, isn't there?
Well, there's a few, actually.
Is there?
Dalek Invasion, was it 20 AD or 25 AD?
That'd be good. I never saw that.
That was one of the earliest. They did a recent, or a semi-recent now, Eric Roberts played the Master.
They should stick with what they're doing well. And someone's saying SpongeBob SquarePants was made into a film?
I'm sure. Cashing animation.
Okay. Look, we'll get to more of your texts, more of your calls.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein.
One of the worst ever TV-to-movie adaptations, the series that helped kick off the third golden age of television, Sex and the City, descended into the depths of racist, purely product placement film, Sex and the City 2, which really should never have been made. You agree with that verdict?
I never saw either of those films, and I'm happy with that life decision.
Good for you. Quite a few of you suggesting Monty Python. John's called from Brunswick. You've been waiting patiently. Hi, John.
Hi, you guys. I just wanted to talk about the Star Trek films.
Yes.
I'm a fan of the series. I think there's probably been more films than there have been TV seasons of Star Trek.
No.
There's been a lot of films. What's it up to now, the latest one?
Oh, I don't know. There's been seven or eight.
More, isn't it into the teens now? I don't know.
But you're a big fan. You're supposed to know these things.
Well, yeah, I'm supposed to know, aren't I? But what I would love to see made into a TV show from my youth is Monkey Magic made into a TV show.
Oh, no, it'd be terrible.
Oh, they've done it.
Have they?
The Japanese made a film a few years ago.
Was it any good?
I haven't seen it.
All right.
Okay. It didn't get great reviews.
There you go, John. You can hunt that one out on the web. Download that from somewhere. Monkey the movie sounds, I don't know, sounds risky. They shouldn't mess with those things. And Chris is called from Pakenham. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Raph.
What's yours?
Another couple from the Saturday Night Live. Coneheads.
Is Coneheads any good?
Oh, well, it depends on your humour.
Yeah. I mean, I remember thinking it was okay at the time, so it was mid-90s, but I haven't seen it since then. I just wonder.
Well, it may be out of fashion now, but Wayne's World also too was...
And that's a great TV to movie. Yeah, good one. Very good one. Game on. Fuck's hair. Thank you, Chris. Beautiful suggestions. Someone else suggesting The Thick of It with the original cast. Just try and imagine it. That'd be good, but they kind of did that with The Loop. But it was The Loop, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the loop. That was a great show.
Let's keep your texts and your calls coming. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, worst film, best series ever. That's Lucy's contribution. 0437 774 774 and 1300 222 774 is the phone number. Let's talk about the songs they sang. Josh, what's the songs they sang?
This is a documentary from a filmmaker, Rowan Spong. You might recall at the end of last year, I discussed a film called All the Way Through Evening, an AIDS documentary.
I remember the name.
Focusing on a woman in New York who holds an AIDS benefit concert every
That's
year.
Right. Yes.
For the composers and performers who died during the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s. Well, this is a film he actually made before that. So this film, I think, came out originally in 2010. It premiered at the Bayside Film Festival.
Right.
And it's getting a single screening. It hasn't played since. It's getting a single screening this weekend at the Classic in Elstonwick this coming Sunday at 4 p.m.
Right.
And it's one of those films that if you don't see it now, you may not, because I'm not sure if it's going to get a DVD release or not. But I think it's an interesting doco from a number of reasons, and also in light of his more recent film.
Yeah.
So it's a documentary about some of the survivors and their family and friends from the Vilna ghetto in Lithuania.
Oh, okay.
In 1941 when the Nazis moved in and exterminated approximately 67,000 Jews in the ghetto in the subsequent liquidation. But it focuses on this artistic culture that emerged from within the ghetto, particularly song composition, theatrical productions, poetry, and focuses on, I guess, how the music led them to survive and the kind of the function of art. So it looks at it in a microcosm, but I think it looks at this idea of what is the role of art in a far broader context, and particularly against the backdrop of one of the most sort of horrific crimes in history.
Were the songs composed once the ghetto had been imposed, or that it was sort of Yiddish culture going back decades, do you know?
Well, I think it was a combination, but I think that the cultural impetus came from that cultural background. But there was the way in which it's described in the documentary, you know, once everyone was sort of forced into this, one of the larger ghettos within Vilna, there was a sort of a town meeting, and they basically said, this is what we need to do, round up the composers. In fact, they even had a competition within that, and there's a young guy who says, I think he said he was 14 at the time, who won the competition, and we see him playing. He's one of the few survivors left. But the film is bookended by the granddaughter of one of the key composers who has just died prior to the filmmaker Spong getting to Tel Aviv. So this crisscrosses the globe too. So you get this sense of the diaspora of the migration from Tel Aviv, Paris, diaspora, Melbourne. Geez, I'm always not a good day for words and actors, this one. But look, the other thing that I think this documentary is really fascinating for is the recreation of the music. Last Sunday, apparently, they had a performance where they actually performed, I think in South Melbourne, performed some of the music. And we see reenactments and recreations. And the music is this stunningly beautiful and also quite haunting music.
Yeah.
And performed really remarkably and quite beautifully shot in the context of the film as well. So this is a really wonderful film, and this is the reason why I wanted to point it out, because I think it's one of those ones that, and you know, there is apparently a battle between the producers and the director, and so that may sort of delay a wider audience or a wider release or, you know, a DVD release. But that being said, I think this is still a really worthy film and an interesting film in light of what seems to be his ongoing interest in terms of the role of art in the face of, well, I mean, horrific adversity in terms of either AIDS or the Holocaust.
So when's that on?
That's this coming Sunday, the 27th at 4 p.m. at the Classic Elston Week.
Probably be popular in Melbourne, given it's, I think Melbourne's got one of the highest concentrations of Holocaust survivors in the world, something like that.
Yeah, that was actually a point raised in the documentary.
Right, yeah. Look, 1300 222 774 is the phone number. A few of you pointing out, of course, that Monkey's based on the traditional Chinese story. I think it's Hanuman, called Journey to the West. It has been made into hundreds of TV shows, but our caller, of course, was saying that it'd be good to see the TV show. What's the word for it? Revivified? I don't know if that's a word or not. Shahab has called from Coburg. Hi there.
Hi there.
What's yours?
Mission Impossible and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Ah, yeah. Now, I didn't see the latest Hitchhiker's Guide. Was that good? The one with, what's his name? Tim from The Office?
Martin Freeman? Not sure, but I thought the series was better than the film.
Yeah, I think that one falls into the poor adaptation. And Ken's called from Ballarat. Hi, Ken.
Hey, g'day, how you going?
What's yours?
Well, Cowabunga.
Right, TMNT.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm. My kids loved it. And the other one is Steptoe and Son.
And they make a film out of Steptoe and Son?
They certainly did.
So what? When's that, late 60s?
Early 70s, I think.
Early 70s. Oh, okay, I have to look that one up. Thank you, Ken. Nice contribution.
I was obsessed with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles growing up. I think I saw that film something like 5 or 6 times. Don't. Actually, Corey Feldman was the voice of one of the
that's
Ninja
right.
Turtles.
Donatello?
I think, or maybe Michelangelo.
Turtle Rebecca! Max Omundo!
Acapella! I so depressing. Huh? You know, it was underground, it was subversive. Oh. It was okay, everything, you know, it was against the whole comic book industry obsession with mutants.
Sold a lot of merchandise.
At least people worked out how to say my name. Raph, really bad on the buses movie. Very highbrow plot about a blown up toilet suite from a cigarette butt and a thrilling replacement farce. It's from Dean in Frankston, who clearly wasn't a fan. And Baywatch, not sure if it's a movie, but the series was... Did they make a Baywatch film?
They've made a few telemovies. Right. I think one of them was set in Australia. Baywatch Down Under.
Right. Yeah. You've got them framed. Yeah,
exactly. Limited edition prints.
Oh, Lord. Josh Nelson is a film critic, supposedly. You can check out his blog, filmology.com. We were talking about Alan Partridge, Alpha Papa, which is on wide release.
It is, yeah.
And the songs they sang, which is on...
Sunday the 27th at 4 p.m. at the Classic in Elston Week.
Just has a Jewish sounding title, doesn't it? I didn't even need to know what it was about to know what it was about. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.